And now your host, Jim Dearman.
Have you ever thought about what your dying words will be? We attach more significance to the dying words of our loved ones and friends, don't we? Those are sacred, sweet words. Some of the choice bits of literature are the dying words of famous men and women. But of how much greater importance are the dying words of our Lord Jesus Christ? And it is to those precious words that we give our attention and our study today. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The dying words of Jesus. What depth of love is here reached in these words? The angry mob is before him. God's only begotten Son has been nailed to the tree of the cross, but he is still pleading for sinning, rebellious men. He wants these poor, deluded souls to have another chance at being saved. They do not know what they are doing. Peter said, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And this prayer of Jesus was answered on the day of the birthday of the church. A man with the keys to the kingdom of heaven preached to these betrayers and murderers of the Son of God, on the day of Pentecost. He said unto them, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Acts 2:36. What a stinging, biting accusation. And what effect? Listen. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. Jesus died praying for his enemies. It is possible for man to die in this way. The first Christian martyr, as he's called, Stephen, died in this way. The Bible says, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Paul, the apostle, had this same spirit. He said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." 2 Timothy 4:16. And we must have the same spirit. Jesus said, "Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven." Matthew 5:44-45. The dying thief said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And how did Jesus answer? He said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." When the spirit leaves the body, it goes into the unseen world. The spirit of Jesus went to the unseen world, but it was not left there. Peter said he, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. Acts 2:31. Peter was quoting from David. And in his dying moments, Jesus did not forget his mother. He made provision for her. He said to her, "Woman, behold your son." John 19:26. He was turning over the tender care of his mother to a disciple whom he loved, John. And so he said to that disciple, "Behold your mother." What did John do? From that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. What an example of providing a home. Jesus took care of his mother. Ephesians 6:2 reminds us that we're to honor our fathers and mothers. It's the first commandment, Paul says, with promise. And when Jesus was crucified, there was darkness from noon until 3 o'clock that day. Matthew 27:45 records, "From the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land to the ninth hour." And out of this midnight darkness, in the middle of the day, the suffering, bleeding, dying Lamb of God called out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Matthew 27:46. The sun even refused to shine when God's Son was dying. Then the recorded words of Jesus in John 19:28, simply, "I thirst. I thirst." How sad. How human. How divine. And how was this dying request answered? The scripture says, "There was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth." Back in Psalm 69:21, we read this sad prophecy. "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." And then the dying words of Jesus in John 19:30, "It is finished." What a glorious consummation. What was finished? many things were then finished. The law of Moses was nailed to the cross. Paul put it this way in Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Yes, we now live under the New Testament, the new covenant of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The New Testament was established by Jesus Christ. He shed his blood to establish it. So many today confuse the old with the new. Of course, the old is valuable to us, certainly. But the law of Moses has been done away, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. And Jesus has left us his last will and testament, the New Testament that we must live by and obey in order to be saved. There were other things finished. The sufferings of Christ were finally finished. His work on earth was ending. More of the dying words of Jesus are seen in Luke 23:46. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. This was the last thing the blessed Jesus Christ said. He then gave up the Spirit. And may we so live that when we come to the end of the way, we may say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The dying words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are significant. Significant indeed. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here he prayed for his enemies. The statement then to the thief on the cross, today you shall be with me in paradise. What a significant statement to a penitent thief. A thief who had earlier, as he hung upon the cross, had railed against Jesus along with the other thief, but obviously, with the passage of time, he changed his attitude. He saw the suffering Savior, and he believed in the Christ. And he obviously turned from his former attitude of railing to an attitude of repenting. And so to him, Jesus said, today you shall be with me in paradise. The thief lived and died under that former law, the law of Moses. And so the application of the new law was not for him. There are those today who try to contend that we can be saved like the thief on the cross, that is, without an obedient faith, culminating in baptism for the remission of sins. But such is not taught in Scripture. The thief lived and died under the former dispensation. Then the statements made to his mother and to John, the beloved disciple. There were significant statements, weren't they? The statement, I thirst. The statement, it is finished. And finally, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory and circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wanderings sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, a bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? What can we say to those words of that great old hymn? What can we say to Jesus, who has given all to us? Can we not at least obey what he has commanded in his word? And what has he commanded? He has commanded that we believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. John 8:24, he said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And so belief is absolutely essential for salvation. But listen, Jesus also said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3, and again in verse 5, those words are repeated. I tell you no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And so it is not belief alone that saves us. Belief is essential, but it is obviously, according to the words of the Savior Himself, a belief that must move us forward to fully repent of our sins. And then, we must sweeten our lips with the sweetest confession one could ever make. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We must make that confession, the good confession, before men. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Paul wrote to the Romans. And Jesus said, if we'll confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father in heaven. We make that confession before we become Christians, and we live that confession thereafter. But there is another step, a final step of obedient faith that puts us into Christ, that makes us Christians, that allows the Lord Himself to add us to His church. And that step is baptism. Yes, we must be buried with our Lord in baptism as He has commanded for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might rise to walk in newness of life, rising from that watery grave of baptism where the blood of Christ has been applied in that grave to cleanse us from our sins, that we might rise to walk in newness of life and be added to the church, His spiritual body. And in that spiritual body, the church, the one church of which we read in the New Testament, the pattern for which is clearly revealed in the New Testament, we are to work and worship faithfully according to that pattern, even unto death. Be faithful unto death. In death is the idea. Revelation 2:10, and Jesus said, I will give you the crown of life. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? What are you willing to give up for Jesus? Your creeds and your traditions of men, your pride and your prejudices, whatever stands between you and simple, sweet obedience to the gospel of Christ, we beg you to give it up. We beg you to come to Jesus as He has prescribed in His Word, through a belief that leads you to fully repent, to confess Him as Lord and Christ, and then to be buried with Him in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, thus to be added then to the church by the Lord Himself, and to labor faithfully therein, even unto death.